The question is, how do we address the concern of Kirvei Dagim? Well, there's three different methods which would potentially be used to confirm that the fish was in fact kosher herring. The first would be the easiest, is to have Mashgiach Tamidi present, an on-site supervisor, watching the fish from the time it enters the factory until it's finished being processed, and then he can seal the containers, and there is never a question about the fish having been left at a certain time without being under rabbinic supervision. Unfortunately, that's not practical for most of our herring producers, as the volume of herring needed in order to certify national brands would not allow for a Mashgiach Tamidi to be present at all plants at all times. Practically speaking, many kashrus agencies, the Orthodox Union amongst them, subscribes to the idea that a fish like a herring has what we call a simen muvak, something that's an absolute sign of identity on the fish, even when its skin is not in place. For the herring specifically, that is the mirror, which is the industry term for that blue-silver subcutaneous flesh layer underneath the skin, obviously subcutaneous. When you remove the skin of a herring underneath, you get that shiny blue-gray skin, blue-gray flesh that marks very distinctively a herring. And many agencies, including the Orthodox Union, subscribe to the idea that since there's no other fish that would have the look of a herring to it, even with the skin removed, so long as the mirror, that blue-silver layer, is intact, we would know for a fact that the fish we're dealing with is a herring. And practically speaking, most facilities that would be removing the skin would leave the mirror intact. So practically speaking, that issue has been taken care of. Yet another option, which is sometimes employed, is to evaluate the facility itself and to come to a conclusion about whether there's a concern that this facility would process any non-kosher fish. The Orthodox Union feels, based on ample halachic basis, that it's possible to certify a fish facility even without a mashgiach present, even without something we refer to like a simen muvak, by having a factory which produces nothing but kosher fish. We have a klal in Chazal, a rule of the Gemara, of umen loymara umnasoy, a professional is not interested in damaging his professional reputation. Obviously, a herring processor is not interested in getting caught trying to pass off some other fish as a herring, because that would seriously affect their ability to do business. And we have, in addition to that, mashgichim that go in and out of a factory. We have to confirm that there's no financial benefit for this particular factory in potentially substituting a non-kosher fish for a herring. And assuming all of those conditions were met, it would be possible to certify the herring facility even without an on-site supervisor. Now that we discussed the various issues that would affect the raw fish itself, let's go very briefly into the pickling process. Obviously, to get pickled herring, the first thing we need to do to the herring once it's processed into a form that we can work with is called curing. Curing, in layman's language, is the pickling stage. There's three primary mediums which one would use for pickling. That would either be salt, glacial acetic acid, which is a petroleum-based vinegar substitute, or plain vinegar. All three of those items would potentially preserve the herring. The level of salinity of the salt and the acidity of either the glacial acetic acid or the vinegar would present an environment hostile to bacteria and effectively keep the fish from rotting. And in addition to that, practically speaking, the factories that process herring, especially once it's been cured, keep it in a refrigerated area to also keep it from potentially spoiling. Well, the glacial acetic acid, as I mentioned before, is a petroleum-based ingredient, and salt themselves don't have any kosher concerns. The problem that we would potentially have, which a kosher certifying agency such as the OU needs to address on a pickled herring product, is whether the plant is pickling with vinegar. Vinegar can be made from various different types of fruits and grains and other kinds of organic matter, including grapes. And grape wine vinegar is a very popular product, very expensive, but it can potentially be used to process herring. In addition to that, when we're certifying herring for Passover, we also have to make sure that any vinegar used in the pickling process is not a grain-based vinegar, because again, grain-based vinegar would be a Pesach concern. Practically speaking, many herring facilities receive vinegar in bulk shipments, which means that the kashrus agency would have to confirm that the delivery came from a certified vinegar supplier that guaranteed that the shipment was clean, that the equipment carrying the shipment was clean, and that the producer was making nothing but kosher vinegar. The cured herring are placed into barrels to complete the curing process. Once all the ingredients are mixed, they're left to sit for a matter of months, depending on when the plant would potentially need them, in barrels. Obviously, a plant with hashgacha tamidus, the mashgiach couldn't sit there for months watching closed barrels. So what he would do is he would seal the barrels, and he would come back when the barrels are to be opened, confirm that his seal is still intact, and then open the barrels. For factories that operate without hashgacha tamidus, the containers are simply opened. The herring in the barrels are dumped into steel tanks where they're washed off from the original brine. That process is referred to as desalting. The tanks that are used for desalting obviously have to be dedicated to kosher or kosherized before the mashgiach would sudify or before the plant would potentially dump the herring into the steel tanks. Even if the herring would potentially be processed in less than 24 hours, which normally we would say there was no concern of kavush, of tastes that are absorbed into the container, leaching back into the food product, because herring, pickled herring, is considered a dara charif, a sharp food, we are concerned that the taste absorbed into the sides of a steel tank where it would be processed, assuming it was non-kosher, would emit from the sides of the equipment even before 24 hours. The Badei HaShulchan in Yeridea Tzadivav Sifkatan Mem Ches brings a Chochmas Adam who talks about this, that there are certain kinds of fish which could potentially be salted to a very high level and be considered a davar charef, would specifically be referring to herring exclusively. Felt that there was no other fish that could be referred to as muluchim b'yoser, particularly salted. And obviously that would imply that herring themselves have to be treated as a davar charef, as something that's very sharp, which would pull out the absorbed tastes on only a few minutes rather than 24 hours. As such, the kashrut agency certifying it has to confirm that the steel tanks where it's being processed are either kashered or dedicated to kosher before the herring is dumped into the tanks. Once the herring is washed, the plant personnel will mix the herring with various different kinds of brines, sauces, and spices, including wine. I'm sure people are aware, especially the herring-consuming public, of a product called herring and wine sauce. The herring and wine sauce is a staple of pretty much every company's herring line, and it's interesting to note that the amount of wine in a herring and wine sauce product is actually very minuscule at all, meaning some factories even go so far, especially when there's no government inspector watching, as to only dump a capful of wine into the brine, which is primarily made of the other ingredients, because wine is very expensive relative to the other ingredients that would be used in the herring brine, and they can effectively get the taste without putting too much wine in there. So practically speaking, mashgiach can find that a herring bottling facility, even when actively operating, can take even just one case of wine and have it last them for months, if not an entire year. Nevertheless, because non-kosher wine is so readily available, kosher wine is often not available, or if it is available, it's more expensive. We must be very careful to make sure that only kosher wine is in the facility. There are various systems that would need to be set up, each one dependent on the facility where the product is being made, to confirm that only kosher wine is used in making herring and wine sauce. Another issue that we have to be concerned about when processing herring is onions. Most herring products are made using onions, and there are two things particularly that we have to be careful about. One is that the knives used to cut up the onions, particularly in smaller factories, could be small enough that the workers could use them for other things like cutting up their own lunch, which is obviously a kosher concern because we don't certify people's lunch when they work in a kosher factory. So the Hashgacha agency would have to be particularly careful to make sure that the only knives used are knives dedicated to the herring line, and there must be a system in place to make sure that the knives are not brought outside of the production area. Another concern, potentially, is that of leaving the onions overnight. That's a little bit longer than we're able to get into right now, but those issues have to be addressed as well. Once we've placed the herring into a jar along with some onions, and we're filling it with our delicious brine, we now have to put a cap on top. That creates yet another kashrut concern, believe it or not. Why does it create a kashrut concern? Because many, if not most, of the factories making brined herring make herring that's dairy as well as herring that is non-dairy. And of course, the non-dairy herring has to be kept non-dairy. In order to do that, we have to be concerned about the capping machine. When a bottle of herring goes through the capping machine is made out of a stainless steel box, basically, which has a steady stream, a very small steady stream of steam that shoots to a specific spot in the box. When the jar of herring would hit that spot, a stream of steam would push out just a drop of the herring, or the brine, I guess, of the herring, right before the cap comes on. The cap would cover it and seal it, and it would continue on a belt through the capping machine. Once it exits the capping machine, there's a vacuum created. The small amount of space that was cleaned off the top of the jar by the stream of steam will condense into water. Water takes up less space than steam, and that's how the safety button on the top of your jar of herring came down. Now, because there's a stream of steam that's pushing a small amount of brine out of each jar, there's dairy herring that's processed in that machine, and a stream of steam just shot some of that dairy cream sauce all around the inside of the capping machine, which would now have all kinds of interesting dairy things smeared all over the place before the company would potentially do a non-dairy run. It's obviously very important that the Mashgiach certifies that when visiting the factory, he opens up the capping machine and confirms that they do an adequate job of cleaning out between dairy and non-dairy runs. One advantage of there being such a wide variety of allergen concerns and very strict laws about dealing with allergens is that many factories on their own already have a system of making sure that the capping machine is completely free of dairy, as it's a concern to them for the allergen concern just as it is to us for the kashrus concern. Well, now that we've finished discussing all the different products, all the different herrings that are available to you, and we've capped it off, I would like to tell you that while you're enjoying your herring and wine sauce, your herring and cream sauce, or whatever traditional herring onion product you're enjoying, any time, any day of the week, we ask that you please remember the kashrus professionals that were able to bring it to your table. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact Rabbi Chaim Goldberg here at the Orthodox Union.